And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. It is great to be with you again today. You know, the first thought I want to express is this, folks. I am so grateful to God for the times in which I live. They've been painful. They've been difficult. They've been complex. I should say they are, because my time is clearly not over. But then comes a moment like the moment we are experiencing now, where the President of the United States demonstrates what it means to be the leader of the free world and brings peace to the Middle East, brings nations together that no one thought it was possible to bring together, gets hostages released, those that Hamas had not already killed, 20 hostages released, has got even liberal journalists, admitting that President Trump has accomplished something extraordinary. This is a moment, folks, in which to say, I'm so glad to be alive at this time. I'm so glad to be here to witness what is going on right now. There's so much to be said about this, and there's some other topics that we need to discuss as well. But I'm probably going to spend most of my time on this today because this is so historic. I don't think you can possibly overstate just how historic this is. So let me begin this way. Those of us who have supported President Trump, even when we I wish he wouldn't say that. I wish he hadn't said that. I wish he didn't tweet this. I wish he didn't tweet that. Nevertheless, we saw something in him that was so great that we felt that the little nitpicky criticisms that one can have of any human being, if you look hard enough, pale in significance to the things we felt Donald Trump was capable of accomplishing and the kind of leadership we felt Donald Trump would exercise. I want to say to all of you who have supported President Trump, you have been vindicated. We were not wrong. Now, some of you may think, well, why did you run for president? I ran for president not knowing that Donald Trump had the nomination. But I had one singular thing in mind, which is to remind Americans that America doesn't work without God. It doesn't work without God. I certainly didn't run because I thought that President Trump shouldn't have been president and should not be president. I ran, frankly, expecting that President Trump would certainly win the Republican nomination, would probably be president again, and that he would have my full and enthusiastic support. And he has and does. You'll never find me on the campaign trail for the 6 months I was on the campaign trail ever having said anything negative about President Trump. I was talking mainly about America's Judeo-Christian values, the same thing I talk about with you here, America's Judeo-Christian values and principles, and how those values and principles are what have made us the greatest nation in the history of mankind. And even though the media did their very best to boycott me, whatever God wanted me to accomplish in doing so, I did. But it was never, never a race in opposition to President Trump, ever. And now I'll tell you, my opinion of him since he defeated, because I started out supporting Ted Cruz when he ran in 2016, my opinion of him after he had defeated that rather large group of candidates has not changed, which is this man is truly an extraordinary individual. His style is not mine. He does not think. Wait, let's put it this way. He does not talk and act the way I would probably talk and act. But I think I hope that you heard me say on this program, if you've been listening, I must concede, having thrown my hat in the ring, that President Trump is a better president than I could have been. Now, folks, you may find that an unusual admission for someone who has run for an office, but I am absolutely, clearly convicted on that. He is a better president than I would have been, because he had the 4 years of experience behind him, and because, frankly, I think there's just something about President Trump's personality that is particularly suited to lead at a time like this. I really do. And he certainly would have been a president that certainly has been a better president than any of the other candidates running. I can't say that about all the other candidates. I can't say that any one of the other candidates would have made a better president than I would have made. But I really do believe that President Trump is a better president than I could have been. If by some miraculous strike of lightning, God had allowed me to become president. And I guess that's why God didn't let that happen. Because he knew the things that needed to be done, and he knew President Trump was the man to do them. So, look, but think about this. So that's coming from me, who has been a supporter of President Trump. But think about the people who have been his detractors. The people who have slammed him and vilified him and slandered him and libeled him and sued him and prosecuted him and called him everything but a child of God. You know, I hope people will forgive me for this reference, because in these politically correct times, such references can get you into trouble. But everyone will understand the spirit in which I'm saying this. They look like pygmies beside President Trump. They look like pygmies. They look like dust on his shoes. They really do. And I do not mean to dehumanize them. They're human beings, but they have made themselves into non-entities by continuing to attack a person who has already accomplished extraordinary things for the American people. And now, this may well be the crowning jewel of his presidency, although I don't know, he domestically, clearly closing down the border has been. And I think there's more to come with this president, because this is perhaps the first thing I want to say about the president that I don't hear people say very much. We used to hear this a lot in regular parlance. President Trump is an out-of-the-box thinker. He doesn't think like a politician. He doesn't think like a diplomat. He doesn't think like a bureaucrat. President Trump thinks like a leader. You know, I've said this in private conversation. I haven't really had much of an opportunity to say it or reason to say it publicly, but I'm going to say this publicly for the first time. Most politicians are not leaders. They're not. They are bellwethers. They are temperature takers. Most politicians are people who wet their finger, stick it in the air, and figure out which way the wind is blowing, and then say, that way. Very, very few are people who don't stick their finger in the air and don't try to figure out which way the wind is blowing, but say, here's the way we ought to be going, follow me. And then sets out to persuade people that that is the right way. There are very, very few of those in politics, because they get hung up on maintaining their career, and their career means I got to take the measure of where the people are. Well, sometimes, you know, the people are wrong, and you've got to show them the right way. And when you can't, guess what? that means you give up your position because you realize my convictions and my principles will not allow me to lead in the way people are asking me to lead right now. And I'm not going to violate my own integrity in order to satisfy people. So they don't want me. It's time for somebody else to take over. See, that's true leadership. But most politicians aren't that. You know what most politicians do? They say, yeah, the wind is blowing a different direction. Me too. President Trump is not that kind of leader. President Trump is the type who says, well, wait a minute. Well, why have we been doing it that way? Well, you know what? We're not going to do it that way. We're going to do it this way from now on. I mean, who would have thought that a real estate developer would become the greatest president, perhaps one of the greatest presidents in the history of the country? And folks, I believe that that's the rarefied air we are now in. I don't think President Trump is just one of the greatest presidents of this century or the modern era. I think President Trump may well prove to be one of the greatest presidents in the history of this nation. Now, again, folks, that's an extraordinary thing to say. And by the way, I have read the biographies, I think, of pretty much every president except Barack Obama. And I know something about the history of the presidency. I can't think of a single president other than George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, who I would say, well, you know, President Trump doesn't quite rise to that their level. But, you know, even there, I say, I don't know. If we were doing a monument to the three greatest presidents, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, I think President Trump would be in the running. I really do, folks. I really do. But those people who have been the never Trumpers, the Liz Cheneys of the world, the Adam Kinzingers of the world, the Bill Kristols of the world, and all of these, you know, pseudo intellectual types who think they're so smart and that Trump is so bad. I don't know. You know, I think sometimes they've got to be crawling into a fetal position in a corner somewhere with their finger, with their thumb in their mouth, weeping, because they've done everything in their power to bring this man down, and instead President Trump has risen to higher heights than certainly any president in our time, in this century, has ever done. The qualities that we saw in him that can sometimes be irritating to people because he says what's on his mind and he does not have a problem following his heart and mind to its logical extension, particularly in the area of policy, those are the things that we, the American people, saw that caused us to vote for him that are now propelling him to a level of greatness that few presidents are ever going to come anywhere near. I think President Trump is a better president than Ronald Reagan was. And I have nothing but admiration for Ronald Reagan. I love Ronald Reagan. But I think President Trump is a better president than Ronald Reagan was. Because one of the gifts, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine, happened to be a supporter, who has been very, very successful. Actually, I'll mention it because he wouldn't tell you who he is. I don't want to divulge his identity, but very successful in legal practice. And we were talking about leadership. We're having breakfast, talking about leadership. And I asked him, because I'm looking at this person who's been very successful financially and otherwise, I said, what do you think is the quality that makes for great leaders, for people who accomplish great things? And he said to me, well, this is not the only one. He said, but I'll tell you what, this is indispensable. And he gave me an answer I never expected to hear. You know what he said? Energy. And I thought, wow. I mean, that sort of took me aback. Energy. He said, yeah. He said, great leaders just seem to have an extraordinary amount of energy. They can just work and work and work. they're energizer bunnies. They can just keep accomplishing, keep moving forward, keep, they run into obstacles, they figure out a way around them, over them, through them, and then they just keep going. They're really, in effect, unstoppable. That's one of the qualities. Now, that's not the only quality, obviously. But I was surprised that he brought that one up. And folks, is there anybody who doubts that President Trump is a man of immense energy? He's 78 years old. The man sleeps about 4 hours a night. And I've heard stories about reporters who don't like to be on Air Force One with him because they can't get any rest. Because the president's up all hours of the night. He's up early in the morning. I mean, and he's always cogent. It's not like he gets groggy and he doesn't know what he's doing and he's too sleepy. I mean, he just keeps going. You know, that's probably what helped make him a billionaire. That immense energy, that ability to just keep at it. And so there's no question, we are witnessing great things in our country. So I haven't said this yet, but let me say it now. I want to congratulate the nation of Israel. First of all, congratulations to President Trump and to Benjamin Netanyahu, who have... I mean, getting Hamas to release the hostages and getting Hamas to sign on to the 20-point peace agreement that President Trump has put forward, that alone tells you, I mean, it just tells you these two have worked together brilliantly. And with all due respect to Benjamin Netanyahu, folks, I don't think there's any doubt who the leader is in this union between the two. And the leader is clearly President Trump. And he knows it. But he doesn't abuse that leadership. He seems to have this ability to bring people in and to bring them on board. I mean, he's got Qatar and Turkey and even Syria may be coming into the fold, and United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia and Jordan, and he's got all of these nations now. Egypt, I'm not sure if he's still in Egypt at the time you're hearing this, but he was leaving Israel to go to a leadership summit in Egypt. So all these people who have been his detractors, I've just got a word of advice for them. Shut up and get on board. Because the train is leaving, and if you stand in front of it, it's going to run you over. I mean, really, for all practical purposes, it's left, but you can still jump on the caboose. So here's the next thing I want to deal with. Man. And you know, here again, this is so unusual. You know, most presidents wouldn't even assess. President Trump can go to the United Nations. He can stand on an international platform and say what he thinks about the leadership of Biden and Obama or anybody else, of Hillary Clinton or anybody else. And, you know, you think, why is he getting into that? I think this is part of the president's charisma, it is part of his leadership strength. This is the president who deals in truth. He doesn't play games. He deals in truth. Now, folks, how many Israelis have been kidnapped and murdered and tortured by Hamas because Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden helped to finance the nation that was financing them, namely Iran? How many Americans have been murdered, in fact, during the Iraq War, because we kept appeasing Iran? We gave them influence, shipping money, billions of dollars, to them in the middle of the night and releasing money into their accounts, which they then would use to kill our allies, and they would use to finance terrorism in the region. And then you hear these cockamamie explanations. Oh, well, we didn't have any choice. It was their money. Give me a break. Give me a break. There was a national security justification for absolutely refusing to give them a dime. And instead you have these appeasing, useful idiots. Hillary as Secretary of State, Obama and Biden as presidents, who just kept feeding the beast and helping the beast get stronger. See, I really believe this, folks. Certainly Barack Obama, Biden, I'm not even sure he knows which way is up or even knew why he was president. But Biden, and perhaps to some extent Hillary Clinton, but definitely Barack Obama, that is Barack Obama, and to some extent maybe Hillary Clinton, I've always said this. I believe Barack Obama is a closet anti-Semite because I really believe that Barack Obama, his sensibilities are with Islam. He may not be Islamic. He may not admit he's a Muslim, but I believe that's where his sensibilities lie. That's where his sentiment is. And I think that Obama really on a visceral level does not like Israel. Remember how he mistreated Benjamin Netanyahu? Left him in the basement of the White House cooling his heels while he went up and had dinner with his family. One of his best friends in, I think it was Occidental College, the guy who was kind of taking care of him, you can interpret that however you want, was a Palestinian. And these people who have been his boosters, we know now that he hid pictures of himself with Louis Farrakhan, because Louis Farrakhan and Jeremiah Wright were very, very close friends. That's where Barack Obama was coming from. Barack Obama wasn't interested in helping Israel. Barack Obama would have just seen Israel blown off the map. Or at the very least, see Israel have to essentially submit as a kind of vassal in the region to some kind of Palestinian or Arab state. Remember, he went over to the Middle East. In fact, I think he started his apology tour in the Middle East. What America's not. He went over to Egypt. And one of the first speeches he gave and declared in Egypt, America's not a Christian nation. You are a liar. We are. But that was just an expression of appeasement and weakness. We don't want you all to think that we're Christians and that we don't like Muslims. You know, And then he went on to list all the so-called contributions of Islam. Give me a break. Give me a break. Islam doesn't have any more, can't be given any more credit for the great success of the United States of America than can Buddhism or Hinduism. We are a Christian country. But he went around the world, certainly to the Middle East, to the Muslim countries, basically trying to apologize for the fact that we're Christian, that our culture's Christian. Maybe you should just left it. Listen, in spite of what I've said, I'm not a Christian, so let's just get that off the table. So that you know, at the very least, you're dealing with an atheist maybe or an agnostic. And maybe even a fellow Muslim, but definitely not a Christian. He might as well just said that, because that would have been closer to the truth. Can you imagine what would have happened if Kamala Harris had been elected? Oh, my goodness gracious. When I think of the combination of her leftist ideology and her utter incompetence, I think to myself, oh my goodness, that would have been a disaster waiting to happen. I think they'd have just soon given Iran a nuclear bomb to unleash here on us. And then basically given the Ward Churchill response, which is, well, these little Nazis deserved it. Speaking of Americans. Now, I'm speculating, of course, but I think that that's the way many of them think. We're the deplorables, remember? we're unimportant. We lack their levels of sophistication, and we can't, the American people, broadly speaking, can't be entrusted to make these important decisions. We're too dumb. We have to leave it to the likes of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and the Hollywood elites, because they know so much more than we do. And these people are just as dumb as rocks and completely lacking in godly wisdom. When Louis Farrakhan led the Million Man March, I appeared on that PBS show. I forget what they call it, Washington Watch or something like that. It comes on every morning. I don't think many people watch it then. It was pretty popular then, where you can take phone calls. Well, I was in Washington, D.C., not for the Million Man March. They invited me to come be on the program to do commentary on the Million Man March. And I went and did commentary and said, I wouldn't follow Farrakhan across the street, let alone to Washington, D.C. I wouldn't follow him anywhere. He's a false prophet. Well, I can say the same for these people who have had the privilege of serving as president of the United States. I wouldn't want to follow them anywhere. I feel bad for our military people when they're under a commander-in-chief like that who doesn't know his head from a hole in the wall. And that's what we had. I mean, can you imagine? Thank God this is over. Can you imagine doing diplomacy in Muslim countries where they value strength and manhood and the warrior ethos, having commercials trying to recruit sailors to be drag queens? Trump comes in and all of that junk comes to a grinding, screeching halt. Thank God. I mean, it's an insult. It's an insult to our illustrious Navy and to our military in general. It's an insult to the warrior ethos of the American military personnel that have served us throughout our history. I mean, it just almost makes you sick to your stomach. But that's what they were doing to the military. You think you could negotiate in the Middle East? What are you going to send a drag? You know, maybe Biden could have sent a drag queen to negotiate. I mean, that's how bad the situation would have been. So thank God. This is a time, folks, of, I mean, I don't want to spend my time dumping on these people because they're not really worthy of the attention. But I do want to put in contrast their leadership, their influence, their direction in contrast to how President Trump has tried to lead and is in fact leading. Let me also add this. I said I really believe that Barack Obama is a closet anti-Semite. I heard President Trump say in his speech in Israel, I love Israel. I said the same thing myself. And I just thought it was wonderful to hear a president say that. Did you ever hear Barack Obama say that? No, he would have been lying if he said it. Did you ever hear Biden say it? No, he'd have been lying if he said it. Did you ever hear Hillary Clinton say it? No, she would have been lying if she said it. I don't know that many Republicans have said it, or any, but Trump said it. And I thought, expresses my sentiment exactly. You know, we've had a lot of debates and discussions. Maybe I shouldn't call them debates, but discussions. Is President Trump a Christian? I have friends who know him who believe that he is a born-again believer, but that he is not being discipled. Therefore, he is not matured as a Christian. And you hear things, because of his lack of biblical understanding, hear him say things like he's doing something, which I think somewhat was said somewhat tongue-in-cheek, because, you know, because I want to go to heaven. Well, of course, we know that Jesus Christ is the only way to go to heaven. Your works are not going to get you there. But I'll tell you what, folks. In President Trump's spiritual state, whatever that is, Christian, maybe new Christian, without discipleship or without much knowledge of Scripture yet, however you classify him, or maybe just a cultural Christian whose sensibilities lie with Christianity, even though he has not made the full plunge and surrendered his life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ for his guidance and direction. But I will take President Trump as a Christian over most of the bozos I hear claiming to be Christians. Many of them liberals. You know, I've often said, I know people who I would stake my life on their Christianity, on their faith in God. Now, the Bible says the Lord knows them that are his. So none of us knows absolutely, because none of us can look into the heart of another person and say, I can see into that person's heart and see that person's born again. God knows those who are his, because he sees our born again, regenerated human spirit. He sees we are new creations in Christ Jesus. God sees that. But Jesus also said to us, by their fruit shall you know them. I put President Trump's fruit up against some of these fruitcakes who call themselves Christians. I mean, I hear some of these black preachers who criticize Trump like he's the devil, and they don't know. They sound like the devil. President Trump is doing the work of a believer. So we need to continue to pray for him, pray for his continued growth in Christ Jesus. Barack Obama claimed to be a Christian. If Barack Obama's a Christian, then I'm a Zoroastrian or Zoroastrian. And folks, I am no Zoroastrian or or Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim. I am a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if Barack Obama is a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then I've come from the planet Krypton. Because it's ridiculous. It's preposterous. I don't know whether you caught this, but my wife and I do, we watch The Five on Fox News. Fox News is, I think, alienated some of us, but there are some good people on Fox News. And I get kind of a compilation of the issues when we have a chance to watch The Five. And while I don't always enjoy Greg Gutfeld's humor, I think Greg Gutfeld does some very, very brilliant political analysis and social analysis at times. This one woman who comes on, she's the former MTV person. Her name will come to me, but you know, you all know who I'm talking about. She was commenting on Barack Obama critiquing Trump's action to deal with crime in our cities. And she made this comment. She said, can President Trump fix crime? And then she said, just look at the way he's sitting. It makes you wonder, has he been fixed? Now, may not be an exact quote, but that's pretty close. And I told my wife, I said, I'm not the only one. I mean, so I've said, I think part of why the left hates President Trump in part is that he's a man. He's a man's man. He's not effete. He's not effeminate. He's not weak. He's not delicate. I mean, he's just a man. He says what he means. He means what he says. He's not running around trying to get everybody to please accept me. And I think people are finding out more and more part of Barack Obama's problem is he's not really a man. Certainly not a man's man. You know, she was just noticing the way he was sitting in this really effeminate kind of posture. It was weird. Not the first time, but it's the first time I've heard anybody else observe this aside from me. My point is, in saying that, is not just to dump on Obama, but to point out, you can't negotiate with people who believe that strength of manhood is the ability to defeat one's enemies, whether it's on the debate floor or it's on the battlefield. You can't convey weakness and effeminacy and delicacy and all of that and think these people are going to respect you. But I tell you what, they respect President Trump because they know that President Trump will laugh and joke with you and send bunker buster bombs and blow you right out of the Earth's atmosphere if that's what he has to do. Because that's what he's done. And look at his accomplishments in Syria. Look at what he did to ISIS in Syria. Look at what he did to Iran. I mean, this man is no joke, and I think the whole Middle East knows it. And you know what? I'm confident. Xi Jinping knows it, and Vladimir Putin knows it. My favorite president, George, my favorite American figure, period, George Washington, was the first person to say it, and every wise leader has said it. I don't know how many of them have actually adhered to it, but President Trump is. The best way to avoid war, the best way to assure the peace is to be prepared for war. Now, I think President Trump really lives by that and governs his presidency by that. He's changed the name of the Department of Defense to the Department of War. He's sending a signal to the world, folks. Don't play with us because we are not to be toyed with. And because of that posture, look at what he's able to accomplish in the realm of peace. It works. Appeasement never works. It never works. We ended up in World War II because Neville Chamberlain and his little group of sissified British elites were bending over backwards for Adolf Hitler. I could say it a little bit more starkly, but I won't. Not with profanity, but you get my point. They were bending over backwards. And where did it get them? It almost got their country annihilated. That's where it got them. Winston Churchill stood up and said, "We will fight you on the land. We will fight you on the sea, but we will never give up." And became part of the coalition that ultimately defeated that madman. And these people have got the nerve to call President Trump a fascist. Give me a break. I mean, they couldn't be more disconnected from reality if they lived on Mars. Or disconnected from the reality of living on Earth. So this is a truly momentous occasion. Now, let me just say from a biblical perspective, I know you know and I know, nothing is going to stop history from unfolding the way God has said it will unfold. In the end, the whole world is going to gather together against Israel. This is not going to stop the anti-Semites. This is not going to stop the people who hate the Jewish people, because this is ultimately a spiritual thing, folks. It is not ultimately a political thing or a military thing. This is a spiritual thing. And as long as the devil is still free, he's going to be raising up people to try to destroy what he knows God loves. And God loves the Jewish people. I'm teaching in my sermons, I'm teaching a series now on the book of Hebrews. Make sure you check it out. You can find me on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, on standamerica.us, on thecall.org. I'm teaching on the book of Hebrews, and I opened up this past Sunday in chapter 1, and I made clear in talking about this, you know, because the book of Hebrews contrasts the old covenant from the new covenant, but I made clear that we call the Jewish people the chosen people. And I said, chosen for what? I said, well, the answer is very simple. They were chosen to be the people through whom God would reveal himself to the whole world. That's what they were chosen for. They were chosen to be the people through whom God would reveal himself to the whole world. God chose a man named Abraham. From that man brought forth a people. From that people brought forth prophets who would speak God's word. And from that people, among that people, raised up a lineage that would produce a virgin who would bear the Christ child, the anointed one, the Messiah of God. Who would be the, I said, Jesus is God's ultimate and final warning to the world. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Jewish people are not going to be destroyed. God is not going to be them destroyed because they were raised up for an assignment that made it possible for us as Christians to come to a covenant relationship with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah. The world's not going to stop hating the Jews, and the world's not going to stop trying to destroy the Jews, but they'll never get the job done because Jesus is going to intervene before they can. And he's going to make clear that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to make clear that Jerusalem is the city that he's chosen to put his name there. And there's going to be a new Jerusalem, same name, but a new entity coming down out of heaven. When Jews and Gentiles will all be united under God's leadership through the Messiah. So President Trump can't change that. But I'll tell you what he's done. I believe President Trump has done something that's within God's timetable for how this thing is supposed to unfold. Remember, Ephesians 1:11 says he works all things according to the counsel of his will. Wow. I don't know exactly how this fits in with everything that God is doing, but I tell you what, this is not an accident. President Trump said, the Lord saved me from an assassin's bullet for a purpose. I would say for purposes, and this is one of them. This may be the major one, for all we know. I've always said this, and I say this particularly for the people who have been so critical of President Trump. I've said, you may nitpick, and I can nitpick with, you know, something the president says or does or something, not, no longer tweets, but now it's Truth Social. But one thing I am crystal clear on, God's hand is on Donald Trump. I'm crystal clear on that. God's hand is on Donald Trump. God is using Donald Trump for his purposes in a way that I can't think of a single president in the modern era has been used. And the only presidents I can think of, frankly, who I really believe God was guiding them in a unique and special way are George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Now, folks, as is said among those of us in the South, that's tall grass. That is tall grass, folks. Well, President Trump is in tall grass. There's no question about it. So praise God for what the Lord is doing. Look, I know there are a number of issues that we could talk about, but I'm not going to try to get into those. I would simply say to you, thank you for your support for this network. That is making sure that we provide you with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Continue to pray for us. Thank you for your support for Stan. Go to our website, standamerica.us, standamerica.us. And we ask you to do three things: to pray for us, to volunteer, and to give. To pray for us, to volunteer, and to give. Because we're going to keep fighting to save this country. And I think, again, folks, I am convinced that one of the reasons why America has been so blessed is that America has stood by Israel. Now, of course, that begins with President Truman recognizing Israel. Boy, how far the Democrat Party has gone from President Truman being the first country to recognize Israel when Israel declared nationhood in 1948. We've continued to stand by Israel even though we've had these weak-kneed, cowardly presidents who are so busy trying to appease the Muslim terrorists and the Islamists and the radical Islamic countries like Iran, that they lose their way and forget that we have a moral and biblical responsibility to stand by Israel. I mean, how quickly they've forgotten October the 7th and begun to condemn Israel. How quickly they've forgotten the second worst attack on the Jewish people since the Holocaust. Systematic attack, killing men, women, children, sending pictures. I mean, this is so reminiscent of the Nazis who reveled in taking the skin of Jews and making lampshades out of them and using their bones to make table legs. Oh, I mean, it's just monstrous stuff. If you want to know what is the similarity, wow, what's the similarity between the Nazis and the terrorists? I can tell you what the similarity is: the devil. The same devil that got into the Nazis and got them delusionally thinking that they were going to destroy the Jewish people, that same devil is in these Islamists. And you know what? They're going to come to the same fate that Hitler and the Nazis came to. They're going to be ignominiously defeated on earth, and they're going to spend eternity in hell unless they repent. Now that's it. I stand with Israel. We stand with Israel and the Jewish people. Because God does. So congratulations to President Trump. You know, I've said President Trump should get the Nobel Prize. But, you know, I'll tell you, there's a part of me that says the Nobel Prize isn't even worthy of President Trump. Because they become just as, I mean, they gave the Nobel Prize to Barack Obama for nothing. That was nothing but a DEI award. Let's reward President Trump because he's black. Hadn't done a thing. Still hadn't done anything to earn it. So to me, the thing has almost been diminished to a point of irrelevance now. Time magazine has put him on the cover, but they say he won't be Time Man of the Year. He ought to be. But, you know, at this point, these secularists and these leftists, what they say and do doesn't matter. You know, Jesus said when they talked about John the Baptist witnessing that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus said, I have a greater witness than that of John. Well, Donald Trump has a greater witness than that of Time Magazine or the Nobel Prize Committee. Because his ultimate witness is Almighty God, who is pleased with the way he is trying to lead this nation. That's what matters most to me. That's what ought to matter most to all of us as Christians. And I know that's what matters most to God. So in the end, what is Time Magazine Man of the Year and what is the Nobel Prize compared to the pleasure of Almighty God? It pales in significance, those things do in the end. So you know what, they can just take that stuff and just dump it in the toilet somewhere and flush it down, because President Trump's greatness is not going to be measured by them, and we're not looking to them to even acknowledge it, because they've lost their way a long time ago. But praise God, we haven't, because we know in whom we have believed. And we know that he is able to keep that which we have turned over, surrendered, appointed to him. And we know that we've read the back, the middle, and the end of the book, and we win. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So congratulations to President Trump, to Benjamin Netanyahu, to the Jewish people, and congratulations to the United States of America for providing the leadership that the world so desperately needs in times like this. And congratulations to you as Christians who have been praying for President Trump and praying for our country in spite of all the detractors and all the malefactors against him and against our nation and against us, by the way. You know what? Again, blessed are we when we are reviled and persecuted and all manner of evil is said against us. For his name's sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is our reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who went before us. So God bless each and every one of you. Great to be with you. And again, isn't it good to be alive at moments like this, to be here to witness these moments? So you stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.